Well, this is an exciting time for me. I grew up at First Baptist Church, White Rite, Texas. I said that correctly, White Rite. No one here knows where that is, probably. But I remember when I was on staff there at the church, that our pastor, every year, the first Sunday of the year, would always do a State of the Church address. And I thought that was the coolest message ever on the church. We get to look back on God's faithfulness and what God has done over the last year, look forward to anticipation of the next year. And I just got more excited about that message that time of year than any before. I'm not a big New Year's resolution kind of guy because I'm just into breaking those things and forgetting about them. Like, oh yeah, I forgot, no Dr. Pepper. What was I thinking? And just kind of going back and drinking another Dr. Pepper. And so I'm not a big on New Year's resolution, no big, you know, that kind of thing. But I love that time of year. And I thought, you know, I do things a little different. I thought maybe I should get all the deacons and the small group leaders and those who serve on a ministry team to like sit in one section. And then those who are, you know, new to the church kind of in this section. And then like the teenagers in this section. That way it'd be kind of like the normal State of the Union address when the president would say something like, and we did this, like half the group just sits there like this. And other people were going, oh, and I thought that'd be kind of fun to reenact. And then I realized you guys were Baptists. No one wants to switch seats. And so I just figured we'd just forget all that. Or stand up and applaud. But what I wanted to do is kind of take a history lesson. Many of you guys who have either been a part of this church for a while or you're new, you don't know the history of Boulevardy Baptist Church. You don't know how we came into existence. That's something we talk about at our Boulevardy Basics class, which if you're looking at joining our church, we will do that probably in the 1st of February. We'll have a Boulevardy Basics class and where you can come and know who we are, what we do, how to join the church, and you know what do we believe as Southern Baptist, and would encourage you to be a part of that. Be looking on the screens for the slide. This is Boulevardy Basics coming up. But I wanted to tell you the history of our church. Delview Baptist Church sponsored a vacation Bible school, a VBS, in June of 1973. In June of 1973, there were a group of people who thought, does the Boulevardy area need a place where people can come and fellowship, worship, and grow in the relationship with Christ? That they could go and be senders to live out the gospel message to other people. And so Delview Baptist Church said, tell you what we're going to do. We're going to do a mission. We'll go out to the Boulevardy area, way out there in the country, far away from San Antonio. I heard the little murmurs. And they did a VBS at the home of Bonnie and Mike Seca on Oak North Mobile Estates. You say, well, where is that? Which really, if you go down Borgfeld Road where you see Piper Ranch Middle School is, it's realistically right across the street from that on Borgfeld, the south side of Borgfeld, just kind of in that general area. So the next time you drive down Borgfeld Road and you pass Piper Ranch Middle School, you can think to yourself, this is the area that Boulevardy Baptist Church was started. There was a VBS held in a lady and her husband's backyard just to love on kids, to reach parents, to say, we want to minister to your kids, we want to minister to you, and we want to see if God is at work here in this area. And if he is, we want to join him. So they did a VBS, which is no mistake that one of the craziest and wildest things we do at our church is our VBS. If you've ever been in our church around the second week of June, you realize that we transformed this entire campus into an Arctic zone, to China, to whatever it is. All I know is this year, Lachelle's looking for Christmas trees. So if you upgraded your Christmas tree this year and you're like, oh, she just put them on the curb, don't. We need them. I would love for her to say, stop the flow of the Christmas trees. I do not know why we need so many, but we do. So there's something for VBS. The first organizational meeting that Boulevardy had was in July of 1973, just the next month. It was that quick for these people to realize there's a need for a church in Boulevardy, because 1 month later, they had a service. Matter of fact, their very first service, they met with Delview Baptist Church in July and said, we need a church. Their first church service was held at Roy Acres Ranch, at Singing Hills Ranch, which is, you know better as Walmart. That, ladies and gentlemen, is hallowed ground. Next time you are frustrated with pulling into the parking spaces, because they're not as equally distributed as HEB's parking spaces, we all know that. But the next time you walk on or you go into the Singing Hills area, you can know that August 26, 1973, Bulverde Baptist Church had their first worship service. Right there near that Walmart. And later on, just a little over two years later, Bulverde Baptist constructed their very first permanent facility, which is now our student building. From the time that they said, we think God is up to something in the Bulverde area, Delview Baptist Church, would you give us the resources we need to go out into this area and start a work? And Delview said, you got it. The next month they said, hey, that need is great for people to see Jesus. And people need to grow in their walk with the Lord. And so therefore, will you sponsor the work for us out there? And Delview Baptist Church said, absolutely, whatever it costs, we'll fund it. Whatever you need, we will give it. We will support you. And then just a little over 2 years later, Bulverde Baptist Church is sitting in their own facility here on this property. Now, our birthday, as I said, is August 26, 1973. In 3 years, we will turn 50 years old as a church. I want you to know something right now. I'm going to go on record. In 3 years, on August 26, that Sunday before or after, whichever we decide, we are going to throw one of the biggest birthday parties Bulverde Spring Branch has ever seen. You think that you're like, oh, that's funny. No, I'm serious. This is something to celebrate. That God has been at work and God has been faithful and God has done miraculous things in and through Bulverde Baptist Church for 50 years. And you better believe everyone else in this community is going to know about what God is up to and what God is doing during that time. Now, before we look ahead, I want to keep looking back. 2019 was definitely an awesome year. It was a challenging year. This church agreed to hire a guy who had zero experience as a senior pastor. But all they knew was they loved, this guy loved Jesus, he loved his family, and he really loved this church. And you guys said, all right, we'll trust you. I want you to know that I'm sorry I've let you down. I'm being serious. I've made some mistakes. I am not perfect. And I'm sorry for the times I've not done as good a job as I could. But I hope that we will always see our failures as an opportunity for God to work and do miraculous things. Just for the simple fact, every time we make a mistake or we sin or whatever, that is an opportunity for God to show up in our lives. So as your pastor, I know I've not been the most perfect pastor, the most eloquent pastor. I made the mistake earlier this service saying we went on 3 foreign mission trips and called Alaska. I had a guy in the first service who was born in Alaska, and he was like, I was not an illegal alien. I was born in the United States. I was like, got it. I'm sorry. See, this is me. I'm an Acts 4:13 guy. I'm uneducated, but I've been with Jesus. That's pretty much it. If you don't know what Acts 4:13 is, look it up and read it. That kind of describes me. But here's the thing. I want to thank you for trusting me to lead you, to be your shepherd, to guide you, to minister to you, to care for you, and lead you. I appreciate the opportunity, and I don't take it lightly. This last year, we went on 3 trips. 2 of them were to a foreign country. The other one was right here in the United States. Our VBS, our children, 4 to 12 years old, raised $3,000 in pennies, dimes, and nickels, which helped pay for the construction project of one of those trips in Manaus, Brazil, where they built a house church that's no bigger than our stage right here. And this group of men, as we, you guys who are there for Mission Sunday, saw these men and the elements they had to work with, the elements they had to work in, the resources they had, the resources they didn't. But what they did know is that no matter how tough life gets, God is good, which is exactly what our theme was for VBS. When life is hard, God is good. And our church, our kids, paid money to build a church. I'm just letting you know, there's probably not very many churches that are reporting that their children's ministry built a church this last year. Ours did. Now, in conjunction of that, we had a missions golf tournament. We raised $8,947 for missions at a golf tournament, which, by the way, if you're not a golfer, you need to sign up for our next golf tournament. If you are a golfer, sign up for the golf tournament and watch all the people go out there who don't know how to play golf. It's just as fun. And you'll be raising money for missions. Last year at our golf tournament, we had a rain delay. We raised almost $9,000, which went to those mission trips and cut those mission trips by nearly half. Which means to go to a trip costing, you know, $2,000, all of a sudden costs just a little over $1,000 to now go and serve and tell people about who Jesus Christ is. Simply by gathering together, playing a little bit of pasture pool in the name of Jesus Christ and missions, this church raised almost $9,000 doing that. We also raised $5,400 for Annie Armstrong North American Missions, which helps go to planting churches in North America. Helps go to, there's a lot of mission needs here in North America. $5,400 we were able to raise. Just last month, in our Annie Armstrong offering, we raised $24,000. Y'all should clap. The first service didn't do so well, and I had to restart it. The first service was like, I was like, we raised $24,000 in 1 month for foreign missions. And I was like, I'm sorry, maybe I misspelled that. Let me say it one more time. I mean, I'm telling you something. That's just under $30,000 this church has raised for missions, which is no mistake. No mistake, because in 1973, there were a group of people who said, hey, we need to start something and we need help getting there. And Delview Baptist Church said, we'll foot the bill. We will help. But along with the state and local missions and associations, we were able to meet together, have a VBS, have a worship service at Roy Acres over by Walmart, and then within a little over 2 years later, have our own permanent facility. Why? Because of the cooperative program and Southern Baptists around Texas and our other churches that are local. And it's no mistake that our church is still mission-minded because we were started with that in mind as well. Through our Southern Baptist Convention, we've planted several hundred, if not thousand, churches across the United States in the last year, year and a half. We've also helped tens of thousands of people through disaster relief efforts across the United States and worldwide. Here at Boulevardy Baptist Church, we've seen over 40 people go from death to life because they came to a point and they said, I need a Savior. And they said, who is that? His name is Jesus. And they put their faith and their hope and trust in Jesus Christ. And now they have been redeemed, born again, and their eternity is sealed. And their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Over 40 people through our children's ministry, youth ministries, and our outreach programs in our church. Now, I want you to know, as awesome as that is, if we throw that number 40 and we throw it at the Boulevardy Spring Branch area, you will realize we've got a lot more work to do. So when we say, hey, we need an upwards basketball coach, we know we need someone who has a spiritual gift of nailing jello to a tree, because that's exactly what it's like coaching kindergarten basketball. It's about keeping the kids on this side of the court and the ball in the air towards that little orange thing. That's all it takes. 1 hour, you do a practice, and then you do a game the same night. You don't have to have any talent of knowing any basketball rules. They're going to break them all. You just got to love on kids. A little side note, there's a guy that does all his work on my truck. He's a mechanic. He owns his own auto shop. And for all my life, if I have ever had any problems with my car, I always take it to this gentleman. I coached his son in upwards basketball because I coached his son in t-ball. And I haven't coached his son since he was probably 9 years old. He's almost 16 now, and when I call the phone and call this man up, he still calls me coach. I want you guys to know something. You don't know the impact you make when you serve in the kingdom of God. Now, this guy, I don't know if he's a believer or not. But every time I take my car to him and we talk and I say, hey, what can I do for you? He's like, just pray for me. Pray for my family. He'll text me prayer requests. His son just left for the Navy. We've made contact with each other. It started by just keeping kids on this side of the court and the ball in the air. And trust me, I'm not good at basketball. We've not only seen that, we've seen over 15 people in our church sign up for Life Coach. People who said, I need to take the next step in my faith journey. I need to take my walk with Jesus seriously, and I want to be surrounded by someone who I can trust, who will shepherd me and guide me and answer questions and pray for me. We've had over 15 people this year make that decision to sign up for Life Coach. We've added 15 people to our greeter team that when people walk onto our campus, they drive and put their car in park, they are greeted with someone saying, we love you and we're glad you're here. We hope you enjoy hearing from God and experiencing God today. We baptized 12 people this year, most of which have been adults, which I think is a huge, huge accomplishment. For an adult to say, you know what? I've been walking with Jesus, but I need to set an example for my wife, for my kids. I want to be scripturally baptized. I'll go through with baptism. Or someone saying, you know what? I didn't know Jesus, and now I know him. I want to take the next step of obedience and be baptized. We've had 12 people in our church, most of which are adults. We've had 54 people join this last year. We had four more join just in the first service today. We've had over 90 first-time visitors this year. Almost 100, which really means for every two people who've joined or visited our church, one of them has joined in the last year. Over 90 first-time visitors and 54 joining. That's pretty good success, in my opinion. This year, we have exceeded our budget by $96,000. Not only that, but we were able to do that while taking on two major expenditures that were outside of our budget. One was buying three new projectors to the tune of $22,000, $24,000 and resurfacing our parking lot at $30,000. So $53,000, $54,000 of extra expenditures, and yet our church still exceeded our budget by $96,000 while still raising $30,000 for missions. I'm telling you, anything that God says he needs, he has supplied every one of our needs. There is no task that is too big for God to accomplish through his church. This is actually the first year, if I were believe right, this is the first year since we moved into this building that we've ended the year ahead of our projected giving. We've never spent more. We've fallen short of our projected budget, but we've never overspent our budget ever as a church. But this is the first year since we moved to this building that we've taken in more than our budget expenditures needs. And to paint a little different picture for you, we've taken in $96,000 more than what we projected, but we also didn't spend all that we thought we were going to. So we're starting 2020 with somewhere, and we don't know the exact figures, but somewhere to the tune of $110,000 to maybe $120,000 in extra blessings that God's provided for our church for what is next. The sale of the highway, we own not the sale of the highway, but the highway expansion on 46. We own 10 acres right there off Highway 46 where Boulevardy Baptist Church sign is when you come around by Craig's Hardware. We sold 1.01 acres because they're doing highway expansion. So eminent domain, TxDOT said, we need this and we'll pay you. And this last year, church, the sale of the property just went through a week and a half ago. And the church received a check from TxDOT for $230,000, which now is sitting in our contingency fund. So until the church decides what's the best way to stewardship that. It's not rocket surgery to take a step back and go, there's something happening here that God's about to do. Are we prepared for it? Because it looks like he's preparing us. Here's some things I've learned in 2019. The days don't get any longer when the ministry gets busier. They're still only 24 hours in a day. People will see what they want to see. People will believe what they want to believe. You can't make everyone happy. And God is good even when life isn't. Jesus is on his throne, and nothing can thwart his power. And Jesus loves me more than anyone, and nothing can separate me from that love. This year has been an awesome year. It's been a difficult year too. But isn't that the way it always is? Don't we see God's provision and blessings most during those difficult, those valley times? As I remind myself when I counsel other people going through difficult times, nothing grows on the mountaintop. It's awesome, and the views are amazing. We just got back from Colorado skiing this last week, and we got to the top of the mountain, and we looked out. It was beautiful, but nothing really grows up there. Down the valley, you may not be able to see as far, but that's where the growth really happens. So here's some updates on things that are happening that you may be aware of or you may not be aware of. One is we have several projects that are in our church that we need to tackle that I call deferred maintenance. I was told that doesn't really sound appealing, but it's deferred maintenance projects to the tune of $100,000. We've got wood on some of our buildings that are rotten, that's falling out. We got some areas in our children's ministry that don't have any insulation. So every time we turn on the AC or the heat, the air just kind of seeps through the ceiling and out through the cold air. We need to update our facilities if we're going to expect these buildings to last us as long as we need them to last us. So we've got several projects, and I would tell you right now that I believe God has already provided the resources we need to tackle those things. However, we'll have a business meeting, hopefully in the near future, and our building and grounds team, which is without a chairman right now, so if you guys want to sign up to be a chairman of building and grounds, we need someone to do that because I have a job for you. I need you to make a recommendation to the stewardship team that we tackle these projects so the stewardship team can go to the church council to get a sign off that everything is good in check so we can go before the church and make a business meeting proposal that we spend the money that God has already provided for us to take care of the buildings he's already provided for us. So if we need someone to step up on the building grounds team to help us move that down the road, I would greatly appreciate that. Not only has God so richly blessed us, but I think we need to prepare ourselves for things that God is going to continue to do. So in efforts to do that, I've started two ad hoc ministry teams. Some of you know what that is, some of you don't. What is an ad hoc team? Well, it's really a team that has no authority. It's just a dreaming team, a team that's been assigned to do a task. One was our bylaws team. The church council submitted names. Those people were asked to serve on a bylaw team. Our bylaws have not been updated since 2011. There's been a lot of things that have changed in the world since 2011. There's a lot of unclarity on some of the things in our bylaws for just how do we hire people? Who do we bring before a church for a church vote? Who doesn't go before the church vote? What team does this? There's a lot of unclarity on some of the things within our bylaws we need to update. There's nothing in our bylaws that state what we believe about marriage, sexuality. Something that today is very prominent and can land you in a court battle really, really quick. And right now, we don't have a lot that in our constitution, in our structure, that says, this is who we are, and this is how we do things. And so the church council formulated some teams to start looking at and asking the questions, are the way we're built, is that the best way to function for the next 10 years? Is it the best way to function for the next 10 years after that? And so we're asking the tough questions. Of course, like I said, these teams have no authority. All they're going to do is present a bunch of ideas and questions, and then those will be brought to the church. The church will roll through those and, you know, wrestle through those and come to an agreement, and we'll make those decisions together as a church. The second team that I created wasn't another ad hoc team, was the long-range planning team. It's come to my attention, going back to the whole you can't please everyone, I realized early on in youth ministry that if I asked an entire charter bus full of teenagers, where should we stop for lunch, I'm going to get an entire charter bus full of answers. But I also realized there's no wisdom in just me making all the decisions by myself either. Proverbs 15:22 says that without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. So I put together a team of about 12 individuals from our church. Half were male, half were female. Half have been at this church longer than 10 years. Half have been members of this church for less than 2 years. Because I want to see what's kept you here this long and what brought you here initially. What's a guy's perspective? What's a girl's perspective? And ask ourselves this question. If our church keeps growing, where are we going to see the most impact? Because I don't have all the answers. I know that. The times I feel like I do, I'm quickly reminded that I don't. So I put together a team to help me dream of what would this look like. Do y'all realize that we have a Mother's Day Out program that they start in September, and by October, people are already putting themselves on the waiting list for next year? It hadn't surprised me that there's a mother who walked up and says, I just found out that I was pregnant. Can I put my kid on the waiting list? I don't think that's happened to Deborah yet, but I wouldn't surprise me if it has. But do we have the adequate education space? We already had to make some changes in our education departments and switching some classrooms over because of growth. But if we were to add 300 people to our church in the next 2 years, which I believe is very capable, it's not a goal of mine, but if what happened if it did? Are we prepared to minister to those people? Are our ministry teams set up for success to encounter that? Does our greeter ministry, can they handle an additional 30 people on their ministry teams? Can the benevolence team handle this many more people added to their team? What is happening and are we prepared for it? So I just put together a team to help me ask those questions. Where would we find the impact and how's it going to, where's it going to help us the most and where's it going to hurt us the most? You know, we've got a house right next to the church that I used to live in for 13 years. It's vacant now. I don't know what's best use for this empty house. Should we turn it to a counseling center? Should we develop, you know, turn it into some sort of a rehab, you know, place for people who are struggling with drug addictions? Should we bulldoze it at parking lot? I don't know. I don't have all the answers. But I do know if I asked all 500 of us today, I'd probably get 510 answers. And we'd be no better off than where we started. So this is a team just helping to dream and to think about what could be next. I know we have an education facility that's pretty much maxed out. And if we continue to grow, what are we going to do? How are we going to put education spaces? Do we build a gym and then renovate the gym side into more education space? We tear the whole thing down and enter another building program for $12 or $13 million? Lord knows I don't want to have to do that, but I'm not in charge. God is. And I don't know what is next. But I know whatever it is, God will provide. It's going to require sacrifice, and he's going to use us and people who will be coming here to help fulfill and meet those needs. Now, let's ask ourselves this question. Where are we headed? Where are we going? That's the big question everybody's asking themselves. 2020, here is what's next for this next big year. Here's what I'll tell you. It's going to be big. It's going to be a lot of big steps for you as a church. It's going to be a lot of big steps for me as a pastor. We're going to unpack that over the next 5 to 6 weeks of the new series titled, This Is Us. We're starting it next week, and we're going to dive into who are we? How do we define ourselves, and how do we accomplish these things? Now, I want you to know that this is not something I just thought over the last 2 months. This has been in the works for the last 4 to 5 years. Before Dick even was thinking about retiring, before Chris Clark left us to start his counseling practice as our worship pastor, these were conversations that we were having as a staff 4 to 5 years ago. And God has finally led us to the point to put things in a simple format for us to grasp and say, I get it. That's my role. That's my responsibility. I see my job. Now I know how to move the needle. So I hope that you'll be a part of this next series, next 5 to 6 weeks as we dive into who we are. This is us. This is not something I've just thrown out, something we just kind of copied from another church. Our staff has been diligently toiling over, praying through, debating, praying, talking, rewording to get to a point where we can say, this is what it is. This is us. This is who we are. And this is how we move the needle. But what's it going to require of us? Regardless of what verbiage we put up there, regardless of what we put out there, whatever game plan you may see, what's it going to really require of us? When Dick Loesser, a pastor of this church for 17 years, preached his retirement message, he gave this church and myself a charge that came from Joshua 3:5. And he says this, "Then Joshua said to the people, 'Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you.'" That word consecrate is the Hebrew word kadash. It's to consecrate, to sanctify, to prepare, dedicate, to be hallowed, be holy, sanctified, or to be separate. Sanctify yourselves. Consecrate yourselves today, for tomorrow you'll see God do wondrous works. He left our church after 17 years and said, "Church, today, set yourselves apart, because tomorrow you're going to see God do wondrous works." We're at the close of 2019. We've already closed it and started 2020. And we look back and we're like, God did wondrous works among us. There's no doubt that God has provided every need this church has needed. There's no doubt that God did amazing wondrous works in among Boulevardie Baptist Church. So what do? For 2020, we consecrate ourselves today. Because tomorrow you're going to wake up and you're going to see God do great things through you and among you. And Monday morning, as you're preparing to see God do wondrous things from you that day, you consecrate yourselves. "I will consecrate myself because I know on Tuesday, God will do wondrous works among us." So I know that sounds really simple. So what does it really look like? Well, if you want to take notes, I got two things for you and that's it. Sanctification and faithfulness. Sanctification and faithfulness. That's what God will require of you individually. It's what God is requiring me as your pastor. That is what God is requiring us as a church, is sanctification and faithfulness. I have some big steps that I want our church to take over this next year. Big steps. And as your pastor, I don't want to stand up here and just say, "Trust me." I promise you, my first day I preached, when y'all called me as your pastor, I said, "What we will do in unity as a church with Jesus at the very center, getting all the glory and all the credit and everything to do." It's a promise I made to you, and I will keep to the day I'm to my last day as your pastor, that we will walk in unity as a church, glorifying Jesus at the very center. And I promise you that walking in unity does not mean always walking in happiness. Walking in unity does not mean getting what we want. Walking in unity does not mean liking every decision. But it does mean being in lockstep with the Holy Spirit. Unity is about happiness or getting our way. It's about being together. And if this honors Jesus, and this is what brings God glory, and this is what was required of us, I don't have to like it. It doesn't have to make me happy, but it does have to glorify God. And I'm letting you know, I've got some big steps for us as a church. We're going to unfold these over the next 6 weeks. This is us. This is not something that's just been arbitrarily thrown out. Matter of fact, if you ever, I told the first service this, that if you ever have questions about the church or what's happening or what's going on, do everyone a favor, especially yourself, call the church office, schedule a meeting with me. You will get your information quicker, faster, and more accurate in my office than the parking lot or Facebook. It may be oh me, it may be amen, but regardless, I promise you it's the truth. We're going to do some amazing things. And we're not going to sit back and just watch it happen. We're going to get in and we're going to help make it happen. We're going to be used by God. And it's going to be uncomfortable at times. We're going to be sitting next to people that, you know, we may not really like or fit into our social economic status or our same race or ethnic background or religion or whatever it may be. But they're here to experience the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I'm okay with that. I'm here to tell you that 2019 was awesome. But I believe if we were to fast forward one more year, we'd stand and say, "Wow, God, we thought we saw God move in 2019. We had no idea what he really had in store." Matter of fact, the scripture says, "No eye can see, no ear has heard, no mind can see what God has in store for those who love him." And I know this church loves Jesus. So what does it mean to be in unity with Jesus? Well, first of all, do you know him as your Lord and Savior? Is there a sin in your life that's plagued you and you need victory over? Is there someone you need to pray with that you have anger or animosity towards? Those are things that are great first initial steps in being in unity as a church. Do I know Jesus? Yes, I'm bought and paid for by the blood of the Lamb. I'm a firm believer in Jesus. He's my Lord and Savior. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Awesome. What in my life needs to change to be more like Jesus? I need to sanctify myself and I need to be faithful. Sometimes it's an issue I deal with in my heart. Sometimes it's an issue I deal with another person. Sanctify ourselves, be set apart, consecrate ourselves today for tomorrow. Craig shared this poem, our media director, as we gather for staff prayer every Sunday morning. He shared this, and I wanted, it just was so fitting. I wrote a quote here that says, "We can't go anywhere as a church until the church gets right with God. We can't go anywhere as a church until the church gets right with God." Then Craig read this quote, which paints such a beautiful picture using eloquent words. It just paints such a better picture. It's a poem about the Great Awakening. It says, "One man wakes, awakens another. Second one wakes his next door brother. Three awake can rouse the town and turn the whole place upside down. Many awake will cause such a fuss. It finally awakes all of us. One man wakes with dawn in his eyes. Surely then it will multiply." It starts with one. And then the two. And then the three. The question is whose life will be changed because of yours? Whose life will be changed because of yours? Sanctify and faithfulness. We have seen God do great things in the past, and we can clearly see that. It does not take 2020 vision to see that. And the same faithfulness that we see God, how he has provided even through the dark times, the tough times, the unknown times, we look back with clarity and see how God was faithful. I want you to know that same God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So tomorrow when we take that step of faith and doing what we believe is best to honor God, that same faithfulness that he's shown us in the past is present today in that moment. Church, be encouraged. God is not done with us. In 1973, there were some people who said, "Is God doing something at Bulverde Baptist Church?" Delview Baptist Church says, "We'll go with it. You go with it. We'll go with God because God's up to work. He's up to something, and we want to join him in it." We fast forward 47 years later, and I'm telling you that that same spirit is alive today in this church. There is something that God is up to, and I would love to join him in those efforts. When you look back on the last year, it is no mistake that something is on the rise for Bulverde Baptist Church. I may not know exactly what that is, but if I look at how we're being set up for, I hope we're prepared for it. I believe we're prepared for it. And I trust that you will join all of us as we walk in unity with glorifying God at the very center of every single thing we do.